fighting in the morning papers. He's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Second hour of the National Intel Report, folks. My guest, Ed Walter, today, and we'll get to all of your calls. Greg, Gary, Bruce, Linda, John, Bill, and others. We'll get to all of you. Let me tell you why democracies fail. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters, and they've already discovered this, that they can vote themselves largess out of the public treasury. Think of it as money. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always to be followed by a dictatorship. By the way, that was written by Professor Alexander Fraser Tytler nearly two centuries ago, while our 13 original states were still colonies of Great Britain. At the time, he was writing of the decline and fall of the Athenian Republic over 2,000 years before. Let's go back to the phones. Greg in Iowa, you're on with Ed Walter.
We're back to that word democracy again.
Ah, man, I'm telling you. And you know, what did Hitler say? The more often you repeat the lie, the greater the chance, I'm paraphrasing, that the public's going to believe it.
Well, keep in mind that you got to understand the English language a little bit. We use an awful lot of colloquialism. We say things like, howdy. What does that mean? It could mean hello. It could mean how are you? But it doesn't really mean anything. Now, when you deal with the word democracy, I've been studying what you've been saying while I've been listening, by the way, here, so I'll give you a little bit of thought on this. But anyway, when you deal with the word democracy, it does work if it's a town hall meeting. Pure democracies work endlessly if they're in small quantities, small groups. But as a society gets more and more people in it, it becomes an impractical process, and you have to go to the democratic republic, which is what the colloquialism was all about. Most people, like myself, the only time I ever got excited about people not calling this society a republic, by the way, is when I was in the John Birch Society, and they harped it to no end when really there was nothing to it. And I grew out of that stage, and now I understand most people know we belong to a republican form of government with a democratic process. Now, if you notice that second definition you just gave, the guy didn't say democratic. He says we elect our representatives. How can you elect them without it being a democratic process? Are we going to turn our vote over to somebody else and let them vote for our representatives for us? And if that's the case, what are we doing to ourselves? Your definition, whoever wrote those definitions back in the 20s, really wanted to load the deck for somebody's benefit. Now, who it was, I don't know, and I don't care, because we're not going to go by those definitions today. Another thing that I see you confusing is we can have a democratic republic.
Well, wait a minute. Back up here a little bit.
Yeah.
What am I confused about again?
Well, if you notice, you said that when you read the definitions closely, you will see that whoever wrote the second definition for republic said we elect representatives to make our government. That is true. But you cannot hold an election on the part of the populace without it being a democratic election. Or a republican form of government. Now that
wait a minute, whoa! There's a big difference between a democratic process and a democracy.
A town hall meeting is a pure democracy without any representatives, and the people decide every political issue in their community. There is no representation there. They are the representatives at the same time that they vote on the issue.
Yeah, but hold on.
That's my definition, by the way, going all the way back to the founding of the country.
Yeah, okay, but I think I'm losing something here, or you're misunderstanding me.
I'm not misunderstanding you. Believe me. Listen to me carefully.
Okay, well, I'll have to listen to you carefully after
and
the break.
I'm going to listen to you carefully.
Oh, will you do that? We'll take the break here. We'll be right back. I'm going to listen to myself during the break. We'll be right back.
Got Gano Cafe is the new energy drink that is sweeping the globe. Already a number one beverage in Asia, Gano Cafe is the new energy drink for coffee, tea, and cocoa lovers. What makes Gano Cafe special is the secret ingredient, reishi, a concentration of six species of red mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. One packet of Gano Cafe is the energy equivalent of a whole pot of coffee. All natural Gano Cafe tastes great and is a drug-free alternative for optimal health and longevity, with several delicious varieties, including mocha, hot cocoa, and the Brazilian coffee classic. You can experience Gano Cafe for yourself. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and how they meet the demands of a busy day in a natural and healthy way. Try Gano Cafe today. Visit www.gethealthyoncoffee.com or call 888-784-0718. Call now and receive a free gift with your first order. Again, that is 888-784-0718.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Greg in Iowa. Okay, let's clear this up because I'm a little confused here. Who is promoting the town halls as somehow supposed to be our form of government?
It's been that way. Up in New Vermont, New Hampshire in the beginning, and one of those states still has it. They actually get together to decide their political issues in their little town. There aren't that many people. So they don't really have to have a representative government because they can settle whatever they need to politically in a small group. You can do that, and it used to be done in America. But when you get involved with large groups like we have, 300 million in this country, then we get to where democracy is impractical and it degenerates the political process. You've got to have some pinheads, which we call congressmen, to run the system. The question is, how do you pick your pinheads? And we've done it through democratic process. Now, sometimes you can get some real wealthy people that have oil in Texas who want toll roads, and they can pick the pinheads for you. And, in fact, that's a whole other issue. By the way, if they own our $7 trillion debt, guess when they foreclose, we have to give them collateral. Wouldn't it be nice to give them all the federal highways so they can charge you to drive on them, which is about what they're thinking, by the way. That's where we're headed. So be careful, because they have picked our pinheads, and our pinheads have created great debt, which they bought up in the form of treasury bonds all over the world. And when they get ready to foreclose, you're going to run on a toll road, and you're going to pay their gas prices whenever you get off the toll road, too.
Well,
so that's not democratic. See, and what I'm, John, before I want to say something quickly. I know I could, you got to go on, and that's fine. But keep in mind, democratic process is political, but it also can be economic. And when you complain about what's going on in Texas over those roads, keep in mind that what the Founding Fathers said is when things fail, we reinstitute. We don't only reinstitute our politics, we can reinstitute our economics, and we should separate them. Now, democratic principle is not in our economics yet, but once it becomes part of our economics, then we can solve the problems that are picking our pinheads for us. We can get rid of the problem. But we have to understand that we can... There's a democratic, there's a political process and economic process in this country. Don't put the two together. Separate them, and you can clearly see who your enemy is, and you don't have to go to war with him. All you have to do is reinstitute, and they're starting
to do that. What, now, hold on here, because, Greg, that's exactly what I said at the beginning of this program. Did I not?
Yeah, you're working around it, but I'm seeing you as being not quite seeing what can be done to bring these new institutions in that will solve America's problems. We've been hornswoggled by people who know what they're doing.
Well, Greg, you seem to have a handle on it. Why don't you enlighten us as how exactly it can be done?
Well, what they're starting to do it. If you look at closely at what do they call in economics a limited liability company or partnership, what that is the owners of the company are the people who are in the company. You don't have absentee owners like stockholders.
Right, right.
And the bottom votes for the board of directors, and by the way, if you're carrying a broom and you're a good person in the company, the company people can vote you onto the board of directors. They can also vote you off the board of directors. But there won't be anybody in New York City that owns stock in your company. The only stockholders will be the people in that company. So there won't be any absentee stockholders anymore. Now, when you do that, it makes all of these present corporations, which we call beasts who... they're beasts that do not breathe.
Okay, you're still describing the problem. I asked you a specific question.
I just told you. The new institution will be a democratic, representative, economic business. And they presently have them called limited liability partnerships or limited liability companies.
Ed, help me out here, because I'll tell you what. Either I am just plain stupid today, my left half of the brain took a vacation before the right half did. Is this man saying, is it true what he's saying?
Well, he's got a problem in that when you're dealing with corporations...
Well, talk to him directly. He's still on the line here.
You're dealing with creatures of the state, and for those of us who have severed our relations, I have the right to have a company. Remember in the old days everything was called, Smith & Company or whatever?
Yeah.
Corporations were created to get of course, Lincoln was a big corporate attorney. They were created to get the state's hands into all the business. You have the right to go out and operate and run a business. Why do you ask permission from the state? So I don't care what they create. They're not even running on lawful money. The entire UCC is just a scam to get things other than lawful money treated as money. So I think he's going down a road that we don't want to go down.
I think you're mistaken highly because only corporations are licensed by the state. I can form a partnership anytime I want without a license, and I already have.
Correct. So why would you deal with anything related to a corporation other than when they're shareholders?
When you form a company, if you don't want to be the dictator, you can form companies that are democratic and allow the owners to be the people in the company. That's up to you. But you don't need the state's permission to do it. And you do with a corporation, I grant you. You can't have a corporation without it becoming a legal entity created by the state. But we have lots of free enterprise in this society, which is called partnership or sole proprietorship, and no state ever sanctions it. We generate them every day. There's got guys out here putting up drywall. They didn't have to get a license to do that. And if they wanted to create a democracy,
actually, most places they do now. In most places, you do need to get a license to put up drywall. The contractor.
Well, you need to, not the business. You might need to because of city ordinances on who's going to do the work. I grant you that. But the type of company you have, they don't dictate that. If you want to really see, by the way, if you really want to see how bad it is in America, turn 870 on your dial in New Orleans and listen to all the permits required just to get back on your feet and get your house put back together. You can't move down there right now without a license or a permit.
Which is why we don't want to go in any deeper into their commercial democratic system.
No, you want a democratic system in America because it doesn't exist here yet. Now, that democratic system is economic, not political. We have all this.
But that's not a government. That has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. People want to operate that way.
I got to tell you, I'm just confused as all get out.
Well, free enterprise doesn't have government in it. Capitalism does, and that's where John has a problem with the Torah. It's because his corporate people down there are moving in on his government and using it for toll roads.
Well, excuse me, Greg, isn't this what I've been saying? I think
sure.
since this...
But I'm trying to distinguish why you break away from that.
Okay.
You don't want capitalism. You would want free enterprise, which doesn't allow government to regulate and create playing fields where some people have to roll the ball uphill and other people roll it downhill.
Forgive me, Greg. Forgive me, Greg, but I don't think I've ever suggested that.
I'm not saying you did. I'm trying to define the problem. Because we need to reinstitute our economic structure here before it beats us up and takes us over.
You can't until you get lawful money.
This is why I'm asking you, Greg, and I asked you again, and you said, well, you told me how it could be done. I'm asking you, A, B, C, how do we throw the corporate government out? How do we do it?
Dealing with government and throwing government out is different than the economic problem.
Let's not play patty cake. Let's not.
Well, see, our politics is correct until somebody suffocates it. We have a Republican form of government founded with a Constitution that, if it wasn't twisted and subverted and corrupted, would work well. But it needs the proper economic system with it in order for it to function well. We're finding that out right now. After 200 years, we progressed to the point where we're getting severely beat up because the pinheads in Washington have been bought up by the what would be capitalists that are not really on the American people's side. And we're learning that, see? What we got to understand that they are the problem. We can through voting, we can change our politics once we can get these...
Greg, back. Ed, do me a favor. Rip this guy a new one before I have to.
You can't fix it through voting because you're voting in a corporate election.
I just
corporate
said that.
Officers.
We have to form limited liability, private sole proprietorships, and create companies that do not need licensing from the state. And as they get their economic wealth up and become stronger and stronger, they will be able to influence society and change it. But it's not going to happen overnight. That's
all right.
The solution.
We'll just agree to disagree.
Yeah, Greg, and I'll tell you what, on a calmer day and not on the air, I'd love to talk to you because you've thrown everything at me but the kitchen sink.
I sent you my manifesto and you didn't read it or you'd be on me right now. I'll send it again.
Okay, please do that.
Bye-bye.
All right. Do you realize how many people send me stuff? I mean, I would have to have life extension technology and live to be 153 to read exactly. And folks, please, I will ask a favor of you. If you're going to send me something, just don't plop it in an envelope and ship it off and figure that it's going to be, you know, like I'm going to open it like some present on Christmas morning here. Give me a call beforehand. Explain exactly what you're sending me and why so I have a heads up. Otherwise, guess where it goes? You should see my desk. It's about 3.5 foot stack on my desk right now. And your package, Greg, yes, you have. and Greg, your package is probably sitting there someplace. But I will read it with great relish because I didn't understand a damn thing you just said to me. All right, he was doing this mix of politicking and economics and all this other stuff, and Ed, either I've gone stupid here in the last hour or so, but I didn't think the one had anything to do with the other.
You don't want to mix them. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, and if we have an honest money supply, how the heck can you manipulate anything? If you have an honest money supply, if you've got a government that's sticking to fixed principles and not making up their own rules as they go along, where is the harm? Where is the damage going to come from, and how severe is it going to be? You know, Greg, you just confused the heck out of me. I'll have to talk to this guy. Either he's a master brain screwer, or I've just left sanity someplace. Gary in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
How are you?
Promised to be as entertaining as Greg from Iowa.
I'll give you a little entertainment. I was listening to Bush on TV, and they were talking about this CIA leak thing, and he said, well, if the law's been broken, we'll investigate, find out who it was, and they'll be taken care of. Now, I wonder what he meant by taken care of. I mean, rewarded?
Probably. Probably. You got anything else? We'll hold you.
Yeah, last week.
Hold. We got music going here. The reason I ask is because we've got to take this short break. My guest today, Ed Waller. And I don't know whether to get drunk or just give up the business of broadcasting, because I'll tell you what, Greg, you just mix-mastered my brain, boy. You just scrambled it up. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
For over a year and a half, I have lived with a foot disorder called tarsal tunnel syndrome. My feet became numb with severe aching in my ankles. Additionally, my calves ache. I would have severe shooting pains in my feet, especially at night. While trying to sleep, I would literally cry from the pain that my feet were going through. My podiatrist suggested several different treatments, but could not assure me of any relief. My son told me about Cocoon GH. He assured me that the Cocoon products did what they claimed they would do, and after just 2 weeks, using Cocoon GH Extra Strength, my calves and the shooting pains in my feet started to go away. But best of all, I have the feeling back in the heel half of my feet. This GH has literally saved my life. I now get up each morning and hit the floor running. Additionally, my blood pressure is now 120 over 80, the lowest it's been in 30 years.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
They railed against the crowd. Another ragtag band declaring independence.
All right, we're back. By the way, during the broadcast, Jeff Jackson, which called in the other day about Irwin Schiff, said that Secretary Snow at the Irwin Schiff trial made the statement that taxation is the price of citizenship.
He's telling the truth.
But the problem is that the people in that courtroom, probably only just a few, understood exactly what he said.
Yep. You want to be one of their citizens, you're going to pay dearly. And you're going to pledge your life to securing their debt.
Of which there is no end, by the way. I mean, I just, you know, and it's not $7 trillion. I wish people would quit saying that. $7 trillion, that's a drop in a bucket of actually what the government has got us into. The government accounting office admits to $51 trillion. So nobody tell me the $7 trillion figure again, because it's not true. All right? You know, get this public debt out of your head and get these little counters off of these websites that are tracking the public debt, because that's a fallacy. If you think it's $7 trillion, you're mistaken. It's seven times or more worse than that.
Yeah, well, the latest number I heard is it's over $100 trillion now. Unfunded liabilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't worry. Don't worry. We're bankrupt anyhow. So what's the next step here? Well, and Greg and Iowa alluded to it. What's the next step? Well, we start turning over assets. If you make a loan at a bank and you don't make your mortgage payments, what do? They come and they take your house. They seize your house, put it on the market. They can sell it for whatever they want. Chances are, if you can't make your payments, they're going to figure you're broke anyhow or just highly irresponsible. They're going to sell your house off. And if they can collect anything, they'll sell it fast to make you responsible for the balance of the contract. But, let's just go to another call. I don't even want to get back into it. Gary in Tennessee, you said you had another point you wanted to make.
Yeah, I'm back. Last week, I would like to get out of the system and get out of that UCC thing and the court jurisdiction, driver's license, and all that. But I got a little problem. I'm collecting a little piddly Social Security check. How do I do that without
jeopardizing your payment every month?
Yeah, now they're going to want to give me my money back.
Well, I don't count on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be something that we're going to be addressing. That'll probably be put on the website as opposed into the first issue of the book, because it's just something that is very particular, obviously, to certain people. It's a big issue, and you've paid in money your whole life, and you're either entitled to a refund or something.
Right.
Now, we're going to have to probably go to court once to get that issue settled, and we're definitely not opposed to that.
Yeah, because the way it's set up right now, if you declare yourself to be the sovereign individual or whatever you want to call yourself, you pull out of the system. And I still consider you at that point in time of being basically a man without a country. Now, some people will claim, well, wait a minute. No, I believe in my Constitution. Okay. The problem is the system that's in place doesn't believe in the Constitution. Therefore, they don't believe in you and your argument. So, my problem here with what the caller's bringing up is, Ed, that, if you get rid of your Social Security number, which his payments are directly tied to, he supposedly paid into this trust, if you rescind your Social Security, your driver's license, everything that carries that Social Security number, is the government just going to turn around and tell Gary in Tennessee, well, look, Gary, you opted out of the system and you paid into this system. If you want to collect the benefits, you're going to have to remain in the system because you go outside of it. Well, you broke the contract, and we don't have to pay you.
That's what I'm kind of concerned about. Another thing, too, if you could talk a little bit about courtroom procedure and how to slow these judges down. I did the UCC one, cracking the code thing, and I thought that might be the answer, and that I could pick and choose who got to use my all-cap name. But
nope, sorry. You didn't create that entity. How did you think you were ever going to be able to put some brakes on it? The thing about courtroom procedure is all status. If you go in there with the presumption that you're a U.S. citizen, you got your Social Security number, all that stuff all lined up, you're going in as chattel property. There's just no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So unless you get your status right, and then you can defend it. And that's why we have a test in our book. You'll have to be able to pass the test before we give you the process. Because the last thing we want are some more, ignorant folks running around out there trying to be something they don't understand how to be, what the law is behind it, and how they get any remedy out of it. Because the system is they're going to have a judges' conference. They're going to go figure out what to do with people who are now claiming their status under the law, and we don't want people getting hurt. There's a lot of people that got hurt on that whole UCC thing.
Okay, well, the more information you give us, the better off, and I really appreciate the Thursday.
All right. Well, Gary, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm one of these guys. I don't know. Call me a snapping turtle once I latch onto something I don't like to leave go, but I'm still after the point here as to how we make these people vacate the de facto government and we put in the de jure constitutional lawful government. I'm still waiting for that one. We'll take the break. Thanks for your call, Gary. Bruce, John, Bill, Gene, Mark, and others. We'll get to your calls, we promise, right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gatto Cafe is the new energy drink that is sweeping the globe. Already a number one beverage in Asia, Gatto Cafe is the new energy drink for coffee, tea, and cocoa lovers. What makes Gatto Cafe special is the secret ingredient, reishi, a concentration of 6 species of red mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. One packet of Gatto Cafe is the energy equivalent of a whole pot of coffee. All natural Gatto Cafe tastes great and is a drug-free alternative for optimal health and longevity, with several delicious varieties including mocha, hot cocoa, and the Brazilian coffee classic. You can experience Gatto Cafe for yourself. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and how they meet the demands of a busy day in a natural and healthy way. Try Gatto Cafe today. Visit www.gethealthyoncoffee.com or call 888-784-0718. Call now and receive a free gift with your first order. Again, that is 888-784-0718.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
I wonder if Greg in Iowa was talking about a direct democracy or representative democracy. Well, it doesn't matter because individual or groups that compose a majority view are afforded no protections, or I'm sorry, the minority, that would be the minority, are afforded no protections against the majority's wishes. So, and the majority's power, when it becomes unlimited, the abuse of the power is not only possible, it's an absolute certainty. Is that what is not happening in the United States today, Mr. Waller?
Pretty much. They have been enjoying the benefits of the 14th Amendment and U.S. citizenship for so long. And they also realize, John, time's running out. Our currency is running out. There's only 4% of it left before it's worthless compared to 1929. So they're getting desperate. Time's running out. They're getting emboldened because we've been living under this system so long now that you pretty much feel like, nobody's going to come bother us. It's up to us to arm ourselves with knowledge and be able to stand up to them and say, hey, we know what you did, and we don't like it. We're not going to play with it anymore.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Bruce in Nebraska. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Ed. It's been a good show.
You think? I don't think so.
I'm still evaluating.
I'm my harshest critic and judge. I don't think so, but go ahead.
It's been a good show. It's presented a lot of thinking material, and I thought that might be a good time to throw in a little thought material. Jefferson said to bind them by the chains of the Constitution. I believe when we started the show, it was how to restore the constitutional republic was one of the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an idea how that can be done. And what I call it is the citizen's evaluation test, whereby anybody that wishes to run for public office has to pass a test on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence.
Funny you should mention that. That's exactly what I said to the one of the ranking members of the Michigan State House.
Okay.
I was sitting in his office, and he thought we were there just proclaiming our right of Second Amendment and self-protection and this, that, and the other. And I looked at him, and I looked behind him, and he had row after row of law books.
Exactly.
And I told him, I said, you know, you could probably quote me almost verbatim some of the most famous cases. I said, but what about this? You know, what about people understanding that are supposed to be elected by the people to represent them under a form of government that I recognize? And I said, what about a constitutional test before they're sworn into office that they have to pass a litmus test that they understand? And by doing this, even if they cheated on the test and they said that they understood what the constitutional republic was and then swore their raised their right hand to swear their allegiance and they're going to do their job under those tenets, well, then that itself is a trap for them because they said that they understood it. And the first time they stepped outside of it, you say, OK, here you go. Here's your test. You said you knew it. Now you're demonstrating that you either lied about it, lied about the knowledge of it, or you're just ignoring it. In either case, boom, you got to go.
And I think that's an excellent idea. I've taken a little further than that, John.
We can't shoot him yet.
No, we're going to hang him.
Okay.
There is such a thing as treat.
Okay.
Jefferson would have burned him at the stake, but he was kind of crude.
Anyway, but how are you going to take people who are not elected to the office of the republic and test them on anything? You can't take these people who are not running for office within the republic and expect them to uphold a constitution that is foreign to their government.
Well, then why did they? Why do they even bother then? Why do they even bother to go through the dog and pony show?
Yeah, if it's a popularity.
Well, they have to keep the facade up, or we might decide, hey, they've done something untoward.
Okay, well, let's explore this here for a second.
It's a popularity contest.
Bruce, hang on a second. Let's explore this. So if they're doing this dog and pony show and they've got to keep up the illusions, can't we hang them on the very thing that they said that they were going to do?
Certainly.
Well, keep in mind, under the corporate charter, they took the Constitution for the United States of America, 1791, and they made it their corporate charter so they could call it now it's called the Constitution of the United States, not Constitution for the United States of America. All right, so they're almost telling you the truth because they are taking an oath to their constitution that should be called a corporate charter, and they're not calling it that. But you have to understand, like I went through the other day, if in your state you have to swear under oath and fear and pains of penalties of perjury that you're a United States citizen to vote in their election, you can only elect officials to the United States corporate body, not to your republic. So until you get a real election of real people into the real republic, don't test them on anything. You're just playing their game.
Well, I think that we can play their game and beat them at their own game.
How?
I think that
How?
We have to. Yeah. You can't ignore.
Was that an echo, or did
law.
You?
Do you think that if we circulated petitions locally and everybody said we want to return to the Constitution? I mean, make it simple, because these people can't, obviously. So you say, okay, we do want to return to the Constitution. 90% of the people said so, and everybody is required to take this test before they can run for an elected office. And if you pass it by 95% or better, then you are allowed, you are qualified.
You're missing my point. Look, if you went into IBM and said, okay, how many people want to return to the corporate charter of General Motors? And you're asking this people to asking this to people within IBM. They're going to look at you and go, what are you talking about? You can't go to U.S. citizens and ask them to return to a corporation which is foreign to them. This is law. This is just not some semantic thing that you make up on a whim. You can't have the United States is foreign to the states and the republic, as foreign as France is to Bangladesh. So until people can vote in the elections, the electors, in the elections for the republic, you can't go mix your metaphors, because then they are going to think you're crazy and put you into a psych evaluation.
Well, they can do that with me because I don't mind. Anyway, anyone who refused to take the test would automatically be disqualified. If they passed the test of 95% or better, they could run at a higher level.
But wait a minute, if you're going to go back to the constitutions in most states, that means that they have to be landowners to vote anyway. That'll solve 99% of your problems right there. Forget the test. They have to hold land to be able to vote.
Well, then give everybody an acre. The federal government owes that much anyway.
40 acres and a mule. Okay.
I would say I'm not into giving anybody anything that they haven't earned or worked.
Wait a minute. I got an idea. Why don't we just do what Mexico does every generation. People come in and they invest money or they stick it in their banks or whatever, and they just say pop up one day and say, okay, it's all nationalized and now belongs to us. Can't we do this with international banksters? Because, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. Forget securing anything, or you can't pay off the debt, or you can't repay the loans, whatever the case may be.
Actually, the solution to that is, and G. Edward, this isn't my idea, this is G. Edward Griffin's, but I have researched and it would work. Congress has the power to what? Coin money, right?
Right.
Well, as you know, the Federal Reserve note today is worth what? Whatever the market will bear.
Yeah.
Congress could mint one coin, a $100 trillion 1 ounce platinum coin, one of a kind. Hand it to the Federal Reserve and say, debt paid. Have a good life.
And that was, I didn't know that Ed had said that, because I suggested the same thing, because people were after me going, well, okay, you want to retire their funny money. And then, what system of money do they're going to come knocking at your door saying, well, you owe us this money. You better pay it off. Well, I simply said, well, you just create another form of money. It's a greenback. It's not backed by anything any more than theirs is. You print up the money, throw it in a couple of tractor trailers, truck it all over to their local depository and say, there you are.
One
debt
coin
settled.
Is all you need. One coin, 1 ounce of whatever you want. I'd make it out of platinum, so at least it'd have some value.
I'd make it out of the same thing they're making the pennies and nickels out of.
Yes, so would I. Yeah, why even give it a semblance of value?
They can carry it easier.
Yeah.
But see, this is why we're trying to have this discussion, is you can't fix the system at the ballot box because you're not participating in a real government. It's an illusion. They want you to think that this is your government, that it's your constitutional republic.
Well, then let's flush them out of the hole. And we simply do
that
by throwing some blocks in front of this slow train. And to do that, you have to have some blocks to throw. That would, if it was popular amongst all the American people to have them take this test, okay? That flushes out the scum.
I'd prefer that the citizens take the test.
Yeah. Now, I would prefer that they were required to do that before they could ever graduate from grade school.
Well, yeah. I heard that. Oh, hey, thanks for your call, Bruce.
Hey.
All right.
Bye-bye, John.
Yeah, I've suggested that. I mean, I got weird looks from politicians that they said, well, maybe we could do that. And you could see the wheels spinning in their heads. But
mm-hmm.
I'd put a caveat to that. I would, okay, here's the test, and they pass the test. Let's use Bruce's 95%. You know, we'll give them an A or an A- or whatever the case may be. But I would throw a caveat in there that it is a constitutional republic, and I would spell out the difference between their de facto government and the de jure government. At what point would you have, and you got to ask yourself the question anyhow, who are the people that are going into politics to begin with? Not the best people on the face of the planet, I can guarantee you. And most of these creatures, anyhow, are lawyers. These are the very same people that jump into this corporation, help create the law, and then shove it down our throats and said, there's our authority.
You know, I have actually met with attorneys, one fairly recently, who would agree with everything we've talked about here today, John, but he then added the caveat, well, I took an oath to this critter, so I have to serve it. And that blew my mind.
Who was the lawyer?
Well, I'm not going to say his name, because he's here in North Carolina, and that's not fair to him.
He said it.
He said it, and that's fine, and we were in a private discussion.
Oh, okay,
and,
all right. It wasn't public forum.
No, it was
all
not
right.
Out and open.
Okay.
You know, but, I mean, some of these, and I've had other discussions with attorneys where I say, hey, look, I don't have a Social Security number. I can't lie and give you one. I don't want to be a citizen of the United States. He said, yeah, but that's going to make my job difficult.
Well, you what know, the like, heck do you think you've done to my life?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's got to start somewhere, you know. So I understand people's frustrations, but until they realize that there's two things out there. There's a republic and there's a corporation, or it is indeed a legislative democracy under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution, and it you have to deal with the law of this thing. We got into this thing because of the law, and you're going to have to get out of it through and under the law.
What law are we talking about here? The one that they abandoned?
The one they abandoned, the Constitution and the court holdings and the history and the whole bit. Unless you want to throw it over, you know, just throw it off and start over, which, of course, is our duty and right.
You know, I once asked a city councilman here in Round Rock, they were building a community center. And, of course, they levied a tax on all the citizens of Round Rock, Texas. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, that's really nice. I mean, that's a nice little facility. I'll probably never use it, but, you know, it's nice that you have it. But let me ask you a question. You're taxing me on this thing. So if I decide to move out of Round Rock, can I have my money back because I'm not going to have full use of enjoyment of that facility and I help pay for it? Am I going to get a refund check when I leave? And he just looked at me. And I says, well, okay, you didn't answer that question. Then let me ask you this. Who does that building belong to? Well, it's yours. And I said, okay, fine. Get off my property. He said, no, you don't understand. It belongs to the citizens of Round Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so if I got a bunch of citizens together and they decided to sell it off and turn it into a commercial building, we could do that. He goes, no, you couldn't. I said, well, then it's not mine, is it? I said, I'll ask you again. Who holds the title to that building?
Well, there's an interesting concept that we could spend hours going down to, and that's the idea of a public trust. All these buildings are supposed to be held in a public trust, in trust for the people who own them. How many buildings do you think today are in a public trust? None. Okay, they are held by corporations. If you go look at your registrar of deeds, and I've done this with the federal courthouse and various city buildings, they are held by the United States District Court. They are held by the city of blah, blah, blah. Okay, we are so far from what government is, you know, the example that I like to point out is London Bridge over in London. It was held in a public trust. The thing actually made money. There was so much money in the public trust by the time it needed to be rebuilt that they were actually able to rebuild every bridge in London because of what was in the public trust account for London Bridge. That's the way it's supposed to work. Our public officials are supposed to be holding all public lands in trust for us, not raping them, putting bonding rates against them, and charging, you know, exorbitant taxes to maintain them.
Bill in New Jersey. Hello, Bill.
You guys sure had some discussions with these other people there about certain things. Seems to me like you're just going round and round.
Boy, it seems that way to me, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got something here for you.
Go ahead.
Maybe you can answer this question, and then we'll get on to what I got in my hand. Was Irwin Schiff self-employed?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I don't know why Irwin didn't know this, but Irwin could have filed an application for exemption from tax on self-employment income and waiver of benefits. It's a Form 420-4029. And what this is, it says here, it says, I certify that I am a continuously and have been a member of. And then you have to go into what religious organization you are. So where is the separation of church and state when it comes to this here form right here? This is an IRS form, 4029. I presume it's still in effect because I've had this a little while.
Irwin Schiff was not, well, I mean, he was prosecuted for failure to file. But the real reason they go after these people is because they're informing people of what the situation is.
I understand that, but I'm telling you about this form right here, that he was self-employed according to way I understand it. So, well, I don't understand why and how they can stop him from doing that, because you have a, supposedly have a First Amendment. They ban these books, supposedly. And then when, as I heard you earlier say, I don't know if I heard it right, but something to the effect that he asked about show me the law, right? And the judge says, no, you don't have to. Now, where was the pinheads at sitting on that jury? It was a dead giveaway. Maybe the judge wanted it that way. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well.
Maybe give them an out, and they just were stupid enough not to take it.
Well, no. I'm going to tell you what that jury was not allowed to do. You know, if it gets too confusing, if there is a law, and the state charges somebody in violation of that law, and the state itself can't explain how the supposed person has violated their sacred whatever, trampled on their sacred cow, if it is that confusing and that contorted, the jury should have the right to say, well, look, if you people don't even understand this and you can't adequately explain it, then how would you expect that man that's standing here in this courtroom that you charged, how can we arrive at a guilty plea? We have the right to examine the law, the facts of the case, what the prosecution is saying that this man did. We have the right to not only view the evidence and the circumstance of this, but also to judge the law itself. And if it's that confounding, stupid, or confusing,
it's void for vagueness.
Well, sure, but they're the jury, and once that judge said that, they should have said, okay, you're saying that, we're going to say this, and found him not guilty.
That yeah, but they, the,
that's
the
common sense. That's all.
The problem is the judge then gives the jury instructions on how they have
that.
To find,
right.
And the juries don't understand that they don't have to listen to that darn judge. They can tell him to go pound sand.
Do you remember, Ed, do you remember Hoppe Heidelberg? Do you remember when he was pulled in by a federal grand jury? And this was on the Oklahoma City deal, the bombing of the Murrah building.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought in by the feds to be impaneled on this grand jury thing. And he received the instructions, by the way, by the federal prosecutor on the deal, as to what they could do and what they couldn't do. Well, Hoppe raised his hand and he said, well, look. And he'd already distributed, by the way, citizens' rule books made by the Witten Printing Company. He'd already given these, which has the first section of this, explains in detail jurors' rights, how trials are supposed to be conducted, who's got the power, so on and so forth. Well, what did they do to the guy? He said, well, wait a minute. He said, do we have the right to bring in evidence, examine? Do we have the right to cross-examine witnesses that we want to call in? And they looked at him and said, no, you don't. Here's the curriculum. Here's the game plan. Here's the rules. You play by these rules. And he said, wait a minute. This is not lawful then. It got so bad that the FBI showed up at Hoppe Heidelberg's house and threatened to jail him, or worse, if he didn't stop this.
Yeah, that's the fully informed jury stuff that we do around here.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. You want to see something in a courtroom that is all-powerful, it's the jury. The
sure.
jury in that courtroom has more power than the judge, the prosecutor, anybody in that courtroom. Bailiff, I don't care who.
That's the last phase of the republic that you keep talking about, where one person can hang the jury. That's the republic.
What I tell people, John, who...
By the way, hold on, before you respond to that, Ed. By the way, the new Patriot Act that they're adding certain things to, guess what they're trying to authorize themselves to do? In case, and you just said it, Bill, yeah. in case of a hung jury that they have the right to try that person over and over and over and over again until they get a conviction.
Well, that was tried years and years ago before our Constitution. That goes back to the Articles of Confederation. That goes way, way back when they tried that with a preacher. I don't know the name of him, but that goes 200 years. When the Congress, whatever they pass, tells you the Patriot Act, it's exactly the opposite. Whatever title they put on it, it's the opposite. It's they're so easy to figure out. It's ridiculous.
For us,
yeah,
but the general public out there, because they've been dumbed down to the point, they don't even have the wherewithal to even put forth an intelligent question. They don't even know where to begin to start asking why and where and how and if and when and all that other stuff.
I talk about this. I had me and another guy had a little thing we called the First Amendment Committee, and we were getting all kinds of people, and we were getting people that were starting to listen. But let me tell you, who showed up?
Bill, I'll tell you what, you should email George Bush because you'd probably be a better candidate for the United States Supreme Court because you know a little something about the Constitution. Harriet Myers just bailed out today.
Yeah, I heard that.
I have friends who advise people on tax matters, and I tell them you better get a contract signed with that individual that says they are not United States citizens, that they have no tax liability to the best of their knowledge, because when the Schiff announcement came out, part of the press release was that they have convicted over 100 people since 2001 of these supposed tax scams.
And that's exactly what they said they were going to do, and it didn't have anything to do with the law. Look, let's squeeze in one more caller here. Gene in Austin, you've been holding awfully long. Go ahead, Gene. Gene, did you fall asleep? Is Gene there?
Yes.
There you are.
How you doing, Mr. Stettmiller?
Good, sir. Go ahead. We were running short, real short of time.
Well, okay. I'd just like to say that I haven't heard Alex Jones or Jack Blood or you or any of the other guys that definitely could put you all out of business on this ADL business. I called every one of those Congress critters last week, and we supposedly torpedoed and stalled it, not only to find out that Ted Kennedy's going to throw it on another damn bill.
By the way, I called Mr. Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy's office this morning, spoke to a very nice young lady, and informed her that I said, look, inform Senator Kennedy that we have a First Amendment right to the Constitution. Maybe you should have him reread it, because if he persists in this Child Protection Act with his anti-hate bill attached to it, I'm going to start a little program here to ask Mr. Senator Kennedy to resign from office because he's no longer fit for public office.
Well, I would agree with that, but I think you all need to scream to high heavens on your radio shows because it seems like this ADL creature is just going to keep pushing this thing and pushing this thing. I don't understand why isn't there a law? How is it that they keep tagging this on another bill? I mean, they're just going to beat us down to the ground until they get this thing shoved down our throats.
It's not a government. It's a corporation. They do what they want, and you have no right to expect anything else. Sorry.
Gene, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. We're out of time. You ask a good question. You know, how do we stop it? Well, we'll save that for next Thursday's show.
What if they throw a party and no one comes? Let's not show up. That's the way to stop it.
Ed Waller, thank you, my friend.
Have a good one, John.
You too, sir.
Bye.
We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, with another edition. And I hope this was clear as mud to you today, with another edition of the National Intel Report. We'll see you tomorrow.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.